I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, may we sense your oneness with us, even now as we listen for your word in the midst of my words. Amen. Thursday was Ascension Day, the day we focus on Jesus leaving this earth and his disciples, but not without giving them an important assignment. In essence, what he said to them was, I want you to go and be my witnesses. I want you to do this close to home as well as far and wide. And I want to make sure that even though I may be out of sight, I won't ever be out of mind. Keep that in mind as we back up now to Jesus during Holy Week in an upper room, just a day before his crucifixion, seeking to assure his disciples that even though he would soon be crucified, gone from among them, out of sight, he would do everything possible to assure them he would never be out of mind. How would he do that? By sending us his Holy Spirit to be with us. This is what Jesus is praying about as we encounter him in today's gospel lesson from the 17th chapter of John. Listen closely to what Jesus has to say. He's praying to God, yes, on our behalf, on the behalf of those closest to him, and he allows his disciples to overhear that prayer. A prayer in which he pleads with God and claims that those who follow him can be one, just as he and God are one. I love the way Jesus describes his disciples in this prayer, giving them the benefit of the doubt. They don't sound like the clueless motley crew that we so often see in the pages of the Gospels, but rather as faithful followers who keep God's word, who know Jesus came from God and believe God sent him. I like that way of praying because it becomes in many respects a self-fulfilling prophecy. When others speak highly of us, when they highlight what we're good at, we work toward that. We live up to those words. And it is important for us, I believe, to see ourselves as God sees us. Not as flawed or bungling along the way, not as imperfect or full of mistakes, but as precious. God sees us with love, compassion, not judgment, not criticism. And when God looks at us, God sees hope for the future. May we hold on to that image always. Even as Jesus was praying for his very own disciples and for us, I imagine his disciples wondering, either out loud or within their hearts and minds, how in the world they were going to function once Jesus was no longer among them, when everything they knew as familiar was changed, circumstances were not at all what they used to be. You see, the disciples were accustomed to experiencing Jesus in a very particular way, and that way would be no more. But then I think we can relate to that these days. Let's face it, we are accustomed to doing church, to being the church in a very particular way. And many are eager to get back to doing things as we did them before. But we are in danger of missing God at work amid this pandemic, God at work in our own lives, if all we are focused on is getting back to the way it used to be, getting back to what many refer to as normal. If that's our focus, we may just miss the blessings that God has waiting for us because we don't notice them. I found myself thinking about that as I viewed a video that had been sent to me via email from one of St. John's members. The video was entitled God Whispers and portrayed a man crying out to God, "Speak to me." After he cried out these words, a meadowlark sang, but the man did not hear it. So he yelled at God, "Speak to me." And thunder boomed across the sky, but the man didn't notice. Then he demanded, "Let me see you, God." And the sun shone brightly all day long, but the man missed it. "Show me a miracle," he insisted. And he heard of a baby being born, but it went, well, virtually unnoticed by the man. "Touch me," he demanded, and a butterfly lighted on his shoulder, but the man brushed it away and went about his business. Finally, the man pleaded, "God, I need your help." And a good friend sent him an email filled with words of encouragement, but the man deleted it without even reading it. You see how this is going. At the end of the video, there was this word of advice: don't miss a blessing because it isn't packaged the way you thought it would be. How easy it is for us these days to miss the blessings God is sending our way because they may not come packaged the way they thought or we thought they should be. Now, I'm not suggesting that a pandemic is a blessing, but I do believe that in the midst of this pandemic, blessings abound. Let's make sure we don't miss them. Let's make sure that we notice them, even though they may come packaged in ways we certainly did not expect. As we look at John, there's another clear message that comes through loudly and clearly, and it is the message that we are in this together, not unlike what Pastor Addy was reminding us of just a few moments ago. We are in this together. No, we are not all in the same boat, and I've heard people say that, but look around, and it's quite evident we are not in the same boat. There are some folks out there who are on yachts, others in cabin cruisers, still others cruising around in motorboats, but then there are those in rowboats about to spring a leak, in canoes without paddles, rocking perilously, and still others clinging to rafts that are barely afloat. We are not all in the same boat, but we are most definitely all in the same storm. And this is where we are challenged to be together. In the words of Martha Spong, a UCC pastor, we cannot all be one. That is, we cannot all realize the prayer of Jesus unless we believe that all people matter equally to God. Can we imagine a world in which we live motivated not just by what is good for us, but by what is good for all? When we choose to live this way, not only when the privileged are endangered, but also when only the marginalized are at risk. For those of us fortunate enough to have food on our tables, the capacity to work from home where we are safe and loved, the means to pay our bills and purchase what we need, what can we do to help those whose circumstances are far more dire and for whom the future looks bleak? How can we help others go the mile and bear the load? Surely, it will take a broad commitment to the collective good in order for God to be one with Jesus and we one with one another. In so many ways, as I read this passage from John's Gospel, I was reminded that we are living through a season that puts us very much in touch with the anxiety that his own disciples felt as they sensed he was about to leave this earth. Like them, we are waiting for what comes next, unsure of what to expect, how things will unfold, what the timetable will be. We are, as Pastor Addie described in her In Touch Tuesday video, needing to write in our calendars in pencil rather than with our pens because, well, we just don't know for certain whether or not what we are planning will be able to happen. And so we help ourselves most and help each other most by seeking God in community, together. However together may manifest itself, whatever this new community might look like, we make connections. Fred Rogers was absolutely right, I believe, when he made the observation, the connections we make in the course of a life, well, maybe that's what heaven is. I think he was on to something. There is something quite heavenly, quite godlike, about connections that help us sustain not only our own life, but the lives of those around us. What we know from Jesus' prayer that day in the upper room, as he prayed for his followers then and now, is that Jesus has left us in God's good care. And that's pretty reassuring to me. He prayed, believing that his prayers would stir God to action, and I trust that we do the same. But even as we pray that our prayers will stir God to action, we must also pray with a willingness to place everything in God's hands. In a sense, my prayers day to day sound like this: God, you know the desires of my heart. You know what I'd really like. But ultimately, I know everything is in your hands, the best hands in which to be. So help me to trust you. Just as we were reminded last week by the words of Jesus that we were not left orphaned, that he will come to us, so we are reminded in the words of Fred Craddock that the church is not an orphan, never was, never will be, especially not now. We are not an accident of history, a thing dislodged by this challenging time in which we find ourselves. There is an unbroken connection with us to God, to Christ, to faithful followers who have gone before us. And we must never forget that connection because it is life-giving. It is reassuring. It enables us to move forward one day at a time with hope. So, instead of anxiously holding your breath, let me encourage you to take a deep breath of God's Spirit. And claiming the words that we find in today's epistle lesson from 1 Peter, may we each dare to cast all of our anxiety on God. Why? Because God cares for us. May we feel that in ways that are unmistakably real, especially now and in the days to come. Amen.